This morning we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, a very familiar passage of scripture to all of us, but we're going to read the first six verses of this chapter, and we're going to focus on verses 4 through 6 in preparation for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We're going to be looking at the execution of God's judgment on Christ because of our sin and what that means for you and me and what Christ experienced. So Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Shall we pray before we study? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence and come with confidence to your throne of grace to continue worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the blessings you've already bestowed upon us in this time of worship. And as we continue to honor you in our hearts, as we focus on the teaching of your word, as your Holy Spirit would give us instruction, help us to understand your word and what it means for us. And as we would prepare our hearts to worship you in the observing of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, may your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged. And how I pray for those here today who do not know Jesus as their Savior, that you would open their hearts to your love and mercy and forgiveness. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. You may be seated. This is obviously describing the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at verses 4, 5, and 6 this morning at the meaning of this passage of Scripture. In verse 4, we have what we would call the substitutionary atonement. That is Christ giving his life on our behalf. Let's look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word surely there means truly. Really, he did this. And what did he do? He has borne our griefs. The verb to borne there means to take up and carry. To take up and carry. And as Jesus has taken up our griefs and carried them, he also, along with doing that, experienced the punishment that goes along with those. It's not just picking the griefs up that we have and walking with them. It's experiencing the punishment from God that goes along with it. Look at the word grief. That's a general word there. And the sufferings that you and I experience as a result of living in a world that is condemned by God because of the rebellion of Adam and the woman, plunging all of us into sin. And so we experience this burden, this suffering on a daily basis. And you think, well, I'm not being persecuted or anything. Oh, but spiritually you are. You got an adversary, a very strong one, Satan. He makes our life miserable at times. It's very difficult at times for what he is doing and his evil spirit sending upon us. And so we have this suffering that we're going through. Notice also in verse 4, and carried our sorrows. The verb to carry there is kind of a synonym, but not exactly. But it means to pick something up that is a burden. It's to pick something up that's difficult to carry. And it is a burden. And as a result of carrying that burden, the one who carries it experiences the punishment. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin, that was not theory. It was reality. He really suffered because of our sin. And he took our sin, your sin and mine personally, and he carried them. The word sorrows means pain and agony. Any of you suffering any sin that has caused you pain, mental, spiritual, emotional? Yeah, we all experience that. And he's taken that on himself. And he has satisfied God's judgment, his punishment on that sin, on our behalf. He's done that. So he's taken our place. Let's go on into verse 5. This is God's justice executed. But he was pierced for our transgressions. The word for in both of these phrases in verse 5 actually can be translated because of. Jesus has borne, Jesus has carried our rebellion. He suffered the pain and the agony because of what you and I have done with our sin. He didn't do it because it was his. No, he did it because it was ours. And he loved us and loves us so much. He willfully carried that for us. It says he was pierced for our transgressions. Transgression means rebellion against God. A rebellion against God. Anywhere in your life and mine that we choose to do our own way as opposed to God is rebelling against God. It doesn't matter what it is. If God says go right and we go left, that's a transgression. It's rebelling against God. And that's what we suffer for. And yet Christ, who did not rebel against the Father, has come and taken that rebellious attitude and all that rebellion from us on himself. Notice also it says, he was crushed for our iniquities. The verb to crush there is a very harsh word. The literal translation of the verb to crush means to be beaten to pieces. To be beaten to pieces. Think about that for just a moment. What happened to Christ after his trial? He was beaten. He was beaten with a whip that had pieces of bone and other materials in it, that when it hit his back, it slashed it and cut it open. Near death when he carried the cross to Golgotha. Then the spikes were driven into his wrist and into his feet. He suffered horrendously, physically, mentally, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually, for our rebellion. And he did that willfully and lovingly, that we would be free from that sin. Iniquity there. Iniquity is a really good word because it means sin and guilt. Not only did Christ take the sin, the rejection of God in asserting ourselves, but he took the guilt along with it. So he removed the guilt as well as the sin itself. And so that which you and I are truly guilty for, Jesus says, no, I take that guilt. You're not guilty. How many times have you and I been held accountable for something we really did? Maybe we did something at work that we shouldn't have done. We knew better, but we did it anyway. We suffered the consequences. Did any other employer or employee stand up and say, I'll take the place, I'll take the blame for that? No. But that's what Christ did. He took the blame for our sin. Notice the next line in verse 5. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. Look what the results of Christ being beaten to pieces, of him taking the guilt on ourselves. As a result of Christ doing that, you and I are healed. And in this context, it's spiritual healing. Yes, he heals us in our emotions, and we are healed physically, mentally, the anguish we have. God can heal that as well. And it's the spiritual healing. The relationship that was established by God before creation to have a perfect and holy and righteous relationship with him was destroyed by Adam and the woman. And it was brought back to reconciliation through Christ. And we have peace. And it's a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. And every one of us who are believers in Christ, you know what that means. Because you have experienced that peace. That's what Christ did as the execution of God's justice came upon him. About that. We are healed spiritually. The relationship with our Heavenly Father has been restored to what it should be through Christ and Christ alone. It's not any merit of ourselves. It doesn't depend on how many worship services we attend in a month or a year, or the work that we do for the Lord. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the relationship that you and I have with the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all by grace and by faith that's been given to us by Christ. Now, look at verse 6. This is the confession. This is a confession that you and I have as a result of the execution of that justice and that substitutionary atonement. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us in this room who are children of God know that there are times in our lives that we stray from the truth of God's Word. There's not a person in here that's perfect. Jesus Christ was the only one. Even in this day, we've strayed away from God. In the desires, in our thoughts, in our emotions. And we confess that. We admit that. Look at the next line in there. We have turned everyone to his own way. The word way there means path. It means manner of life. God says, this is what I expect of you, to live a life in this way. And we go over here and do this. And it's a willful, intentional choice that you and I make. So we stray. And each one goes his own way. Look at the next line. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at that verse. The Lord. Look at the name Lord there in your scriptures. It's all in uppercase letters. It's Yahweh, the covenant God of grace, the immutable God who never changes in His being and in His relationship with His people. It's the most sacred name of God. He's the one. And what did He do? He laid our iniquity on Him. Actually, the word laid means more than just placing upon. It means causing Him to experience the punishment. Causing Him to experience the punishment. He caused Him to be stricken because of our sin. You see, justice had to be carried out. God's not going to just pardon mankind and say, "That's all right, you messed up." No, somebody had to pay the price, which was death. And Christ paid it for you and for me. And once again, He laid the iniquity, the sin and guilt that you and I justly deserve on ourselves. Christ took that for you and me. Willingly. Lovingly. So that we would be forgiven. The word forgive, to forgive, means to release. So that sin that we confess, God no longer holds us accountable for it. We are released from that accountability. That's why we have peace. That's why you and I have peace, because that accountability, that guilt, we know we have to do something. And the only thing we can do is stand before God and believe that Jesus is His Son. He did indeed come and die for your sin, was raised from the dead. And you confess, "I am a sinner. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin." And brothers and sisters, when we pray and we confess and we repent and we ask for forgiveness, we're told in John, 1 John, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You pray like that, you are forgiven. And we come to the Lord's table to remember how Jesus took our iniquity, how He was chastised, how He was beaten, and how He freed us from that sin. What a blessing. What a blessing. I hope you've experienced that forgiveness in Christ and trusting in Him. If you haven't, you need to pray that prayer and be forgiven and experience that love and that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the forgiveness we have in Christ. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ sending Him into the world to die for the sin of His people and to be raised from the dead. And in Him we have life. As we come to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, may we meditate on this truth that You've revealed to us through Your Son. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There's two ways to hear the Word of God. One is audibly with your ears, and another way is to see it with your eyes. And the Lord Jesus would say, I believe, by His Spirit, after hearing the word preached through Isaiah 53, all of you, come unto me, you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not just burden from life, but burden from guilt. Burden from where you know you have failed. Burden from where you know you've transgressed. Burden from the sentence that you feel in your own life of being out of harmony with God. And if that weighs you down, the Lord Jesus invites you to come to His table. But there's a way that you have to come. And the first way is you have to be honest with yourself and says, is what I just heard, is that true? I mean, the word that you heard from Isaiah 53, is that true or is it not? If in your heart, and if you're honest with yourself, you say, I don't think that it is, then as one of the ministers of this church, I would encourage you just to pause and to think about that and just observe, watch the rest of the body, rest of this fellowship, partake of this meal. This meal is for those who say, yes, yes, that word is true. I do believe that the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ has dealt with my sin and has dealt with all sin and will be the means through which God will remake the world. That's what Paul meant when he said, let each of us examine ourselves before we partake, before we come to the Lord Jesus. So if you've been admitted to this table by the church session, if you're a member in good standing of this church or any evangelical church professing this gospel, we invite you to come. But first, let's go to the Lord and examine our hearts. Shall we pray? Almighty God and Father in heaven, the night on which you were betrayed was a most holy night. And every time that we partake of this meal, we relive that most holy night. We want to be still, we want to be quiet, and we want to remember. We want to remember what the Lord Jesus did. He took bread, he held it up in front of His disciples, He gave thanks for it, and then He broke it. He broke it as a sign, as a way for His people to always understand and remember what was about to happen, that Father and Son would be separated as the Son took upon Himself the sin of the world. And then after supper, He took a cup and He said over that cup, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I'm going to drink the wrath of God. I'm going to drink the guilt of the human race. And we're going to deal with it in my life and in my blood so that it's atoned for, so that it's erased, and so that there is no longer any gap between God and man. And Father, we want to confess our faith in that word, and we want to come to your table now to receive the grace and the rest that it provides. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. On the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, this is my body, which is for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Father in heaven, there was once a man who came to the Lord Jesus and fell at His feet and said, Lord, I believe. Help me, please. Help my unbelief. And Father, we all find ourselves in that man's shoes. We believe Your word, but yet we need help with our unbelief. And because You're gracious and because You're kind, You've provided this sacrament, this holy meal, to show us Your grace and to minister Your grace to us. And so, Father, I set aside now this bread as a sign and seal of Your covenant of grace, as a sign of the precious and holy body of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon which You have placed the sin of the world. And Father, by faith we receive it, and by faith we commune with You and with one another. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us commune together. After supper, in the same way also He took the cup. And He said, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Father in heaven, what Isaiah said is true. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We each to our own way. But you have laid upon your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, you laid upon him the iniquity of us all, so that we all share in this new covenant of life and of grace and of peace. We have peace with God, and so we have peace with one another. And Father, I set aside now this cup as a sign of that most holy blood, as a sign of that most holy sacrifice which the Lord Jesus accomplished on the hill of Golgotha. Father, we confess together the word that the New Testament preaches over the blood of Jesus, that in the blood of Jesus, life and hope and a new world is to come. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit would impart your holy grace to us now as we receive this gift of your grace through your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us commune together.
Shall we stand? Let us always keep the promise that we have in the Word of God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.